Grace and peace to all of you through our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. The portion of scripture that we'll consider for our sermon meditation this morning comes from the New Testament book of James, from chapter 1, verses 22 to 27. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. If anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. Pure and undefiled religion is this: to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. This is the word of God. When was the last time that you looked in a mirror? I was looking at one just a few short minutes ago, right before I came out to start service. I wanted to make sure that my hair wasn't stuck up and in any weird spots, and that my beard looked nice and combed. I wanted to make sure that I looked nice and presentable for when I conducted this worship service this morning. And I'd be pretty confident in saying that most of you, if not all of you, have looked in a mirror sometime this morning, perhaps very recently. Now, I'm going to follow that statement up by asking a silly question. When you looked in the mirror this morning, what did you see? Now, you're probably thinking, what are you talking about? I saw my reflection. That's how mirrors work. And that is true. You saw your face, you saw your eyes, your nose, your ears, your hair, and everything that goes along with seeing your reflection. But when you looked in the mirror, did you see any spiritual features in your reflection? Of course you didn't, because that's not what a mirror does. That's not how they work. They don't show you those sorts of things. But that is the idea that our text from James puts before us today. When you look in the mirror and see your reflection, exactly who is the man or woman in the mirror? Now, for the first 21 verses of the first chapter of James, James has been giving Christians different commands. He's been giving them to the 12 dispersed tribes of Israel, and he gives those same commands to us as well. He says that we should be, among other things, joyful in trials, that we should ask for wisdom, to ask for faith without doubting. He commands that the rich man should glory in his humiliation, but that the lowly man should glory in his exaltation. He says that we shouldn't blame God for the temptations that we face in this life, that we should be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. And it's through the Lord that he tells us to lay aside all filthiness and wickedness. And then after all of these commands, he tells his audience, and again, that does include us, to be doers of these commands and not just hearers. It's not good enough to just have a head knowledge of the things that God wants us to do. It's not good enough to just sit there and smile and to nod and to listen, but to not actually do these things that God has written for us. That is what James describes as being a hearer only. Now, to make this point even more vividly, James draws a bit of a metaphor for us. He compares the person who hears God's word to somebody who is looking into a mirror. Now let me read verses 23 and 24 again. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, He is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he is. And there's a bit of an important cultural difference to understand here. In the time when the book of James was written, mirrors were not high quality. Now, today we have mirrors all around us. In every single restroom you go into, there's bound to be a mirror above the sink. You very likely have a mirror sitting somewhere in your bedroom. Mirrors are everywhere in our society. They're all around us. They're very cheap to make, and most all of them are very, very good quality. Even if you don't have a mirror, most times people can pull out their cell phones and you have a front-facing camera where you can see your face as well. Now, people today are very aware of what their appearance is. They know exactly what they look like. Now, if you compare this to someone living about 2,000 years ago when the book of James was written, it was a very different story. Mirrors were not common. They were expensive to make, and they certainly weren't as well made as mirrors are today. The best opportunity that most people got to see themselves in a mirror was if they had the chance to look into a pool of still water. For the most part, people of the first century really didn't know what they looked like. They didn't know their reflection. And if they did get the chance to look into a mirror, it was a rare opportunity. Now, in our text for this morning, James is talking about someone who looks into that mirror, who takes this rare opportunity to see what he really looks like, but immediately forgets about his appearance immediately after he leaves. And it's important to note that the word for forget in this verse literally means that the person looked into the mirror, saw his reflection, went away, and intentionally forgot what he looked like. This man deliberately squandered an opportunity to see what he really looked like. Now, if you translate this idea into spiritual terms, it's talking about someone who listens to God's word, who hears all the things that God wants them to do, and then immediately forgets about everything that he just heard. Now, if you want to make that even more relevant for our world today, it's the person who comes to church every Sunday, who listens to God's word being preached to them, and then forgets all about it after they walk out the church doors on Sunday morning, and spends the rest of the week perhaps acting like they weren't even a Christian. Now, maybe you're thinking, I'm glad that's not me. Shame on the people who do that, who forget about everything that God commands us. Well then, let me make it a little bit more personal. Anytime after you leave this church building on Sunday morning, do you use a swear word anytime during the week? Do you get together with other people and gossip about somebody who's not there? Do you have sexual thoughts about somebody that you know that you shouldn't have? Do you complain about anything, really? What I'm really trying to ask is this. After you listen to the word of God and hear what God commands, what he demands from you, do you go ahead and do you sin anyway? Do you disobey God and do the things that you know you shouldn't? I do that. Even though I know that God demands perfect 100% perfection from me, that I keep all of his commandments perfectly and never sin, I still go ahead and disobey him and sin anyway. And every single one of us, if we look into our lives and we see everything that we have done, we can see that our lives are full of sin. We don't even come close to God's standard of perfection. We have to admit that we are often hearers of the word, but that we are not doers. We are exactly like that person who looks into that mirror and then forgets what his face looks like. We look at God's law and we see a sinner staring back at us. A sinner who fails to keep God's law and instead intentionally chooses to disobey God. And when we look into that mirror of the law, the man in the mirror that is looking back at us is a sinner. A sinner who is going to suffer in hell when they die because of their sins. If we look into God's word and we see his commandments, what he expects of us, what he demands that we do as his creation, we know that we have failed. Our religion has not been pure and undefiled. Isaiah 64:6 describes all of us perfectly when it says, "But we are all like an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are like filthy rags." So often we hear, but we don't do. We do the things that we know we shouldn't do, and we left the things undone that God wants us to do. And for all of our sins, God has every right to abandon us, to leave us, to forsake us, and to leave us to suffer in hell when we die. We look into the mirror of the law and we see a sinner staring back at us. But when God looks at us, he sees something entirely different. When God looks at us, he sees somebody who actually does the law. Wait, so hold on a minute. You spend the first half of your sermon telling us that we're sinners who don't keep God's law. Now you're telling me that God looks at us and he sees us as people who do his will, who keep his commandments? Is God blind? No, God isn't blind. God knows very well every single time that we've betrayed him, that we've disobeyed him with our sins. And it isn't for nothing that Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." However, when God looks at us, he doesn't see all the times that we have failed to keep his law and failed to keep his commandments. Instead, he looks at us and he sees the perfect righteousness of Jesus Christ. Now, God's law demands absolute 100% perfect perfection. Jesus was perfect the entire 33 years that he lived on this earth. For 33 whole years, Jesus did not sin, not even once. Where we have problems even going 1 week, 1 day, or even 1 hour without sinning. And even more than not sinning, Jesus was the one and only Son of God, meaning that when he was born into this world as a human being, he was not born with the sinful nature that every single one of us has when we are born into this world. Verse 27 of our text talks about pure and undefiled religion. Jesus is the only person in the history of the entire world, past, present, and future, to actually practice that pure and undefiled religion. He served God the Father perfectly in every way that we have not. But Jesus didn't stop there. And praise be to God that he didn't. After living a perfect life without sinning even once, he died for our sins. He was nailed to a wooden cross. He was executed. And the physical execution wasn't even the worst part of that Good Friday. The worst part of it was that Jesus felt exactly what hell was like for each and every one of us in order to pay for our sins. And he did that so we never have to feel what that kind of suffering is like. And after Jesus died, he stayed in the grave for 3 days. But after those 3 days, he came back to life. He rose from the dead to show the world, and again, that includes us, that he has conquered sin, he has conquered death, hell, and the devil for us. And because of that victory, that all of us have a place in heaven. And this isn't because of anything that we've done. We add nothing to our salvation. The only reason that we are saved is because of what Christ has already done and accomplished for us. Now let's consider verse 25 again. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. When we look at ourselves and how well we have kept God's law, we know very well that we have failed. But when we look into the perfect law of liberty, when we look at what Jesus did for us, we know that God the Father declares us righteous and holy because of what Jesus has done for us. And for that reason, when we look into the mirror of the law of liberty, we can see redeemed saints who are going to heaven because of what he has done for us. And because of what Jesus has done for us, because he has loved us first, it is a privilege, it is an honor to show our thankfulness and our gratitude and our love for him in our lives. And we can do this by actually being doers of God's word and not just hearers. This means taking the word of God that we hear in church on Sunday morning or whenever we read it in our Bibles and actually practicing that in our everyday lives. This means keeping away from the things that God tells us not to do and actually doing the good things that he wants us to do, both for God himself and also for our neighbors around us, especially our fellow believers. We should always remember that we're not doing these things because we are trying to earn our way into heaven. Jesus has already earned our way into heaven for us. When we keep God's law, all we are doing is showing our Savior how thankful we are for giving heaven to us as a free gift. So the next time that you look in a mirror, try not to see just your physical reflection, but see a sinner, but also see a sinner who has been saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, our Savior. See a redeemed and saved sinner who is one day going to meet our Savior face to face in heaven. 1 Corinthians 13:12. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know, just as I also am known. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.